One of the most famous stories of in biblical times. And you could probably ask anyone, maybe who's not even gone to a service or even read the Bible, they've probably heard of this story in some way or another. The story of David and Goliath. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. 1 Samuel 17. We do not have a PowerPoint this morning, so I encourage you to have an open Bible, to flip to the verses we're going to go to and check them for yourself. I'm going to be staying down here this morning because it's more natural for me to look at eye to eye with people. I'm not used to looking down on people with my height. But 1 Samuel 17 chapter, we have one of the greatest stories forming here. And we are introduced in the beginning that the army of the Philistines and the army of Israel are encamped on two hillsides, right? And in between is a great valley. And eventually this valley is going to be the place of a large battle. Well, before this ever goes on, we know for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath comes out there. And he chants at the armies of Israel. And let's look at what he has to say there. In 1 Samuel 17. Look down in verse 3. 1 Samuel 17, verse 3. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs, and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. You can imagine the scene in your mind that these two great armies are encamped and they're looking at each other. And each day this giant of a man, what we would call like a 10-foot basketball goal, really, the height of it, comes out and he has to weigh at least 400 pounds, to say, just with that frame. And he comes out and he shouts and he has a man that has to carry his shield because it's so large and he has so much other armor and weapons on him. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, like on a big A-frame house. On the inside, you can see the big beam going across the living room. That's what it was like. Can you imagine that? And he comes out and he says, "Who are you all to fight against us? Choose today someone to come and fight me, and if he beats me and kills me, we will serve you." But Goliath knows more than likely he would win that fight, would he not? And he says, "When I defeat him, you'll be our servants." Now, and it says at the very end of verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. It trembled them. It shook them to their core. But then David comes onto the scene. And we're not going to take the time to read this. But Jesse, David's father, says, "You need to go check on your 3 older brothers. And I'm going to give you some bread and some cheese to take to them to check on them, see how the battle's going. And then I want you to come back here and give me a report on what it is." And David's the youngest of his siblings. He's the one everybody picks on, in a sense. He's the little guy. Well, he goes out there and he hears Goliath. And he hears him going out and mocking God and mocking the armies of Israel. And it fires him up. It gets to him. Let's look what David's reaction is exactly in 1 Samuel 17. And this is our first point we're going to get into today. Verse 20, "So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, those words that we just read about, that monologue he'd been giving. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and dreadfully were afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. We'll give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David is bothered by what he says. And this eventually leads David to go into battle and to fight this great Philistine. But what was everyone else doing? They were afraid of him. They were sitting back and they were panicking and they were trying to figure out what to do. And they were like, "Well, after you," kind of thing. "Well, you go first. Where's the king at?" This great Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everyone else, who was a great warrior from what we can read of, and where is he the whole time? He's back in the camp, hiding. You say, "Well, it's just a children's story. David goes and kills Goliath. He slings a stone. He sinks it in Goliath's forehead. Yay, David beats Goliath." No, there's more to it than that, because we fall into this story. Do we get bothered when someone insults our God? Does it bother us when people talk bad about our faith? Does it shake you up when someone is insulting your beliefs? Think about it, guys. Some of us, and I've been very, very guilty of this at times, when somebody talks bad about our sports team, what do? We get riled up immediately sometimes, don't we? Now, people can talk bad about Louisville this year because they're in the dumpster right now. But do we not get riled up about those things? Does that stuff not offend us at times? And I've seen Christians get on arguments and on Facebook about a basketball game. At the end of the day, guess what? It was a basketball game, and that was it. What about our political views? Do we get riled up when someone says something about our party or someone we voted for? We do, don't we? You've seen this week some of the protests that are going on and all the political drama. But do we feel that way about things when someone talks bad about our God? Or do we just ignore it and keep on going? When you care about somebody or you care about something and somebody's trying to bring that person down or talk bad about them, it bothers us, doesn't it? Especially a family member. Somebody that you cherish and you care about, and somebody's bad-mouthing them and talking about how bad they are and how horrible of a person they are, it bothers us, does it not? If we truly love that person, it bothers us. Well, do we feel the same way about our God? Do we love Him enough to stand up for Him and to say, "I'm not going to take this right now"? Or do we just bypass it and let it go on? Turn over to Romans, the first chapter, real quick. Romans 1, in Paul's letter to them, in verse 16, he tells them how they need to feel because he feels a certain way. It's a very, very famous passage here. Romans 1, in verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Are we ashamed of it? Are we too scared to speak up? Or we say, "Ah, it's not worth it. Just let it go and move on." You have to wonder what happens if David doesn't show up on the scene that day. But that is surely the providence of God working there, that David goes to that battle and defeats that Philistine. But what happens if he doesn't? Does this same standoff go on and on for weeks and weeks more? Or did eventually the Philistines just take over? Who knows? But one young man, the one who was counted out before he even got there, wasn't even in the army, stands up to somebody who was bad-mouthing his God. And a great victory occurs. Well, where are we at? There's obviously, we all have our different talents. Some people have never met a stranger. And they can be in Kroger and they just start talking to people down the aisle. Some of us may be more timid to share the gospel or even to try and introduce someone to it. It reminds me of a story I heard once. There was this little small town barber. And this barber, he was a timid fella, and he didn't really have the personal skills of being a barber. When I'm getting my hair cut, I like to talk to the person who's doing it. Somebody who just stands there and just cuts your hair and doesn't talk to him, get a new barber, okay? But this barber, they have a gospel meeting that week, and the preacher who comes in, he's fired up. He's very zealous for what he's doing, and he's talking about personal evangelism and how you got to try and talk to people, and he's given all these methods. He hands out a flyer, brochures with steps on how to talk to people. Well, each day the barber goes back into work and he says, I'm going to talk to somebody today. Today is the day I'm going to do it. Well, the first customer comes in on Tuesday morning and he goes, he's trying to figure out a way to start talking to him and he just can't do it. And the week goes on, he's just trying to build himself up to do it, and eventually he gets the courage to do it one day. And the customer he has, he's wanting a straight shave. And he gets him lathered up, he gets all the shaving cream on him, and the barber, he's nervous. And the guy's laying there, he's laying back, and he's got the razor, and he goes, are you prepared to meet your God? There's ways of talking to people, is what I'm getting at. And there's ways of not talking to people. But we've got to look for opportunities, is what the gist of it is. David saw an opportunity with Goliath. Let's look what he said to Saul. And really, we got a bone to pick here with Saul. Saul was anointed by God through the judge Samuel, who worked hand in hand to deliver God's plan. And yet he doesn't seem to bother Saul what's going on. Were they afraid of Goliath? Absolutely. It repeats that over and over. But he wasn't ready to do something about it. Their faith wasn't where it needed to be. So let's look at Saul and David's first, really, encounter with each other. Saul's going to ask David who he even is. And back in 1 Samuel 17, David says, there's enough of this fool who's coming out here. Somebody needs to do something. Who's going to be the man? I'm going to be the man to do it. And David's brother, he's really jealous of David's courage here and his bravery. Look at verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. You think Eliab was a little shown up here? A little pipsqueak brother that shows up, little teenage boy. And he says, I'll take care of him. I'll do it. Eliab was jealous of that. And David goes to Saul, and he says this in verse 31. Now when the words of which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when they arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Was David's confidence in himself or his own ability, what he could do with his sling and staff? Absolutely not. And this is where David and Goliath truly separate from each other. Where was Goliath's confidence in? Who did he believe in more than anybody else? It was all about himself, wasn't it? But David realizes that he has a greater ally on his side than some war champion of the Philistines. He has the great God Almighty. Here's a second point for us today, where we fall into the story. Remember when we looked at all of what David, all of what Goliath had when he came out to the battle? He had all the bronze armor. He had the fancy armor. He had the shield bearer in front of him. He had the spear that was like a weaver's beam. The head on it was like almost 30 pounds. He had the great sword and he had a javelin as well. He had the best of the best technology for that day, did he not? And what's David go after him with? A little sling. Something that's been around from the Stone Age. Here's where we are. Are we going to have to go against some people sometimes that have maybe a PhD at the end of the name? Have a lot of studying, have been available for a lot of resources to come up with new theories and these ideologies. And at first, when you look at them, you say, wow, that's impressive. We think back to the evidences class we had out here in the auditorium. Remember that? With Justin on a Wednesday night, we were all out here for that 13-week study. And we talked about these people and these doctors and scientists that we might have to discuss and discuss with. And at times, we're intimidated by that. We're intimidated by that PhD at the end of that name. Were the soldiers of Israel not intimidated by the presence of Goliath and just looking at him? But David had a simple yet effective tool. And so we have the same today. We have the Word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. Paul once again talks about the capabilities of the Word of God and what it can do. And it's so amazing how this lines up with what we're talking about today. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, let's read starting verse 3. Look at this. And I want you to think about how this applies with David and Goliath here. Think about David, the simplicity of his technique and the simplicity of his tools. 5 rocks in a sling. And Goliath, the fanciest of armors, the most fashioned metals. And with us today, let's look here. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Did Goliath not exalt himself above God and against his army and the people that he had chosen to fight for him? Absolutely he did. He said, "Who are you all, the simple servants of Saul, to think you can come against us," mocking God to his face. And what did David do? He pulled that stronghold down, just as it talks about here, and it brought it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. What happened to the Philistines that day? Well, later on, after David kills Goliath, they chase the Philistine for miles and miles, and they wipe him out. They said their wounded were strung out on the roads. The same is for us today. It's so simple. It's been around, or the Word of God has been around for years and years. And people say, how could you live by a book that was written hundreds and thousands of years ago by a bunch of old dead men? Well, because Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it goes to the joints and bones and marrow. That's why. Because it changes lives. If we don't believe that, then we need to put a question mark beside our faith. It's so simple. God designed it to be that way. Why? Because He is on top. He is the one who gives the authority for things. When man decides to exalt himself above what he needs to be, that old proverb comes to mind. Pride comes before the fall. Was Goliath a prideful man? Full of it, right? It was coming out of him. He was speaking these ways, and he was humiliating everyone around him. But David was there. Why? Because he wasn't going to let someone talk bad about his God and run his name through the mud. He was going to stand up. What are you going to do today? Are you going to continue to choose to associate with people who run your God's name through the mud, who talk down to you because you're a Christian? Or are you going to do something about it? It's up to each and every one of us to do so. And our last point for this morning I want us to look at is this. David had a mountain in front of him, did he not? Goliath was literally a mountain. What did David do? Let's see. While everyone else was running away, everyone else was hiding, David does the exact opposite. He gets his stuff and he runs at that mountain. Why? Because of faith. Let's look at it back in 1 Samuel 17. We know David tried Saul's armor on, and you can imagine that scene. Saul, a very tall man from what we can read, and David, just a teenager, and he's got this heavy armor on. He says, "Saul, I can't even walk in this stuff. I can't go fight this giant with this." So David goes out to battle. He says, "I'll just take my sling and I'll pick up some rocks and the Lord God's going to take care of business. It's not up to me." In verse 40 of 1 Samuel 17. Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He looked down upon him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistines, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." David's faith is confident. It's not what he could do. It's not the ability of him slinging that stone. But who does his faith lie in? It's God Almighty. And he was there to prove that day that says, "You have exalted yourself above God, and today he will humble you." David runs at that mountain. And later, and this is the last verse we'll read from this section. Verse 48. "So it was when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." And we know how the story ends from there. A great victory for Israel, was it not? A tide and momentum changed. But David ran at that mountain. Well, where are we at? The simple fact of it is, there's going to be times in life where there's mountains in front of us. David could see this mountain coming from a long way off. He knew what was coming that day. But before that, he wasn't prepared for that. He had no idea that he was going to slay a Philistine war champion. Well, the same thing's for us. There's going to be things in life where we know we're going to have to face down the road eventually. Things that are building up and we can see the writing on the wall. We need to get prepared for those mountains. Other times, there's going to be things where we don't see coming at all. It's going to blindside us. We're going to come around a curve in life, and it's right there in front of us. With Gunner, everything was perfect. Everything was going fine. And then, after he's less than a day old, and the doctor comes in and tells you that he's got pneumonia and one of his lungs have collapsed. They might have to go in and split his ribs open. Talk about a mountain. Not being prepared for it. That shakes you. that little precious baby who can't do a thing in the world to fight for his life. And that's all he's doing. He's holding on for a bit of time till it's in the doctor's hands. That's a mountain. And believe me, I wasn't ready for that at all. Did we see that coming? Absolutely not. But that's life. There's things in it that are going to shake you. They're going to test you. But it's not what the mountain is, it's how you react to it. Are you going to try and detour and find your way around it and avoid the problem like the Israelite soldiers were doing? Or are you going to go at it like David did? Or say, yeah, I've been dealt the cards that I have and I've got to deal with it. Think about Jesus, our great Savior. He knew all along what was going to happen to him in Jerusalem. But a week ahead of time, what's he do? He goes to it. He goes to Jerusalem knowing what is going to lie there and wait for him. Why? Because his faith was in God to deliver him. David's was as well. Where's your faith at this morning? Are you trying to avoid problems that are in your life and you keep pushing them on the back burner and trying doing detours around them to get away from them and just not think about them? Or are you willing to go at it? Don't have your faith in yourself because, and don't have your faith in other people because people are just going to let you down with it. God doesn't let you down. God delivers you. We can look at David. No one believed in him. No one thought he could do it. His own brothers didn't think he could, and the king sure didn't think he could either. But he knew he could because he had God on his side. Is God on your side today? Where are you at? Only you can answer that. Don't delay putting Christ on any longer. Don't delay fixing that sin that's in your life. Don't delay trying to avoid it and do anything to not think about it. Take care of it today. God is faithful and just to forgive us. He tells us that. Where are you this morning? It's up to you to make the decision. This was a forever changing moment in history. You can change your history and your future today. And only you can do that. You can put Christ on in baptism. You can believe that He is the Christ, Son of God. Confess that belief before men. And make a change. The water is ready to baptize you today. If you're a Christian and you've been avoiding problems in your life, take care of it. If it's a private nature, talk to God. He's there. He's ready to listen. Get your life right with God today as we stand and as we sing.